Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth Children's Corner Show. For network or show information, visit www.BiteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's edition of the Children's Corner on Bringing Inspiration to Earth. My guest today is Amy Meislin Pollock, and we're going to be talking about her books, Adventures of Jelly Bean. Ever since she was in fourth grade back in 1960, Amy Pollock was writing and telling stories about a character named Jelly Bean. She never stopped telling those stories, sharing them with her students over a teaching career that spanned 40-plus years. She shared them with her three children when they were younger, and then with her seven grandchildren. Now, her stories have been made available to everyone with the recent publishing of two coming-of-age books intended for middle graders, The Adventures of Jelly Bean and The Further Adventures of Jelly Bean. Amy Pollock was a teacher for over four decades, raised three children, and loves to play with her seven grandchildren. From her own childhood to the classroom, and as a parent and grandparent, she is perfectly positioned to pen her coming-of-age book series. Pollock earned a BA in English from Goucher College in Baltimore and received her master's in English from the University of Pennsylvania Graduate School of Education. She was certified as a secondary education and reading specialist for grades K through 12 and earned a special education teaching degree from NYU, allowing her to teach disabled. For more information, you can visit her website, which is www.amypollock.com, and that's AmyPollack.com. With that, I'd like to welcome Amy to the show. Good day, Amy.
Hi. Hi, Robert. Nice to be here.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to talking with you about your books and your journey as well. And I have to say that Jelly Bean is quite a little girl in reading the book.
Thank you. Yes, she is. She evolved.
Great. So let's start with, first of all, you know, what inspired you, you know, to, you know, do this, the publication of these books, you know, as it, you know, after such a distinguished and long career?
Yeah, it did take a long time. What happened was, so I had started them, as you said, Robert, when I was in fourth grade, and I used to get up in front of the class when my teacher had downtime and she asked me to, and I would just make up these stories about this little girl named Jelly Bean, who was a forthright fourth grader, a little nine-year-old, who was mischievous, and she had all kinds of adventures. And of course, that was 60 years ago, 61, let's say. And what happened was, over the year, and that was one thing I could do well, was, and there's plenty of things I can't do very well, but I could tell, make up these stories. And so then I started writing them down, because I always loved to write. I always loved to read and write. My dad always got me interested in reading and would read to me, and I'm kind of from a family of writers, and I just enjoyed it. And then I kind of left it alone. Well, you know, I was in school. I was going to school. Then I was working. I was teaching. Got married. Had my own three children, as you mentioned. And then, let's see, when did I get back to it? I got back to it sporadically, but anybody raising three kids, and then also I went back to work when my youngest was in kindergarten, knows that you don't have a lot of spare time. Let's put it like that. So I finally started writing them down here and there, and my students were always extremely interested, and I would ask them, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And they're, you know, kids are pretty honest, and they'd say, no, that's stupid, or you could try this and do that, and, you know, how they can be. And the child's the father of the man, as I always like to quote. And then my own daughter got interested in critiquing me. I mean, I would ask her. And when I would read it out loud to students in my classes that were the right age, I taught all different levels and all different subjects, they always liked it. They were rapt. I'm like remembering this, R-A-P-T, not W-R-A-P-P-E-T. And kind of a stickler for a spelling. And anyway, and the other teachers seemed to like them, gave me encouragement. And then, let's see, I would work on them here and there. But then I went for my more advanced degrees. By the way, it was not NYU. I didn't go to NYU. Oh. I went to New Jersey University. And I did that on a satellite campus. Yeah, I don't want to lie and say I went to a school that I didn't. And let's see. Then I was writing them down, and I had to change a lot of things because some things just were not current anymore. When I got back to it in earnest, because of all people, my mother-in-law would encourage me, and she was a very, may she rest in peace, and had a lot of wonderful attributes, but she was a very critical person. So when she actually would compliment my children's stories, well, as you know, they're for ages 8 to 12, so this middle grade period of time, and she'd say, "You should, whatever happened to those stories? They were so good, you should write them up." I knew she meant them because she was very critical about lots else about me.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to do that as a mother-in-law now that I have a lot of married children.
It's a common mother-in-law kind of trap.
I know, but I – oh, yes. But I try hard not to fall into that one. But I don't know if my kids would agree, but I do try hard. So in any event, of all things – COVID was my, I mean, as awful as it was, the pandemic, that is, it was my silver lining because I couldn't get to my children's houses. You certainly, you know, it wasn't permissible.
Mm-hmm.
And I could either sit down and finish my book and send it, books, plural, and send them around, or, you know, clean out my closets, and who really feels like doing that? And now that I give all these presentations to a lot of the classes, which I love because, you know, I'm a retired teacher, so that's always fun for me. And I always talk to them about what does procrastination mean. They all know, oh, my mother accuses me of that, you know. So in any event, that's what made me, spurred me on to send it around. And I'm going to say, I got like maybe 20, 25 rejections, and which is the way it is. And then someone, a publisher, accepted them. Uh-huh. And as I said, I had to change a lot of things like technology. You know, for example, nobody says the phone rang in the house. It just doesn't happen anymore. So, so that was one example. And the kids all have their tablets. Well, you're chuckling, so I'm sure you know that. How that goes now. And I had to change a lot of the names because, you know, they just weren't in use so much anymore. Like my characters originally were Barbara and Susan and Patty and Kathy. And, you know, now it's different.
Yeah.
Like Finley and Daly and, you know, also Brittany and all sorts, Lindsay and so forth.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's how that went in a long story short.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, it is amazing, you know, the technological changes and, that have occurred.
Honestly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And how well kids have adapted to that new.
Oh my God.
Honestly. Reality, yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh, that is the truth.
Yeah, it is, but nonetheless, some of the topics, and we'll talk about them a little bit. Some of the topics are still relevant, you know, are still,
yes.
You know, some of the challenges that children are going through today.
Oh, yes.
are similar to those of the past. So.
Oh yeah,
tell us
the more things
bit.
Change, the more they stay the same, for sure.
Exactly. Now, Jelly Bean, who's real name is Jillian, I believe. Tell us a little bit about her and her family, and you know, kind of what the family dynamic is.
So when I would go to my husband's cousins, they had, and it was always like fun to go there. Three older boys, and then the younger girl, Carol. It was the youngest of the four. And we would talk a lot. I mean, I was, when I first met her, I was 19 and she was 4. And a lot of these situations are recreated in my stories. And she would tell me this happened with this brother and this, the oldest one she didn't have too much to do with because he was so much older than she was. She was very close with the next one down. And then she would fight a lot with the one, yeah, not anymore, they're all grown, but at the time.
Yeah.
She would have a lot of fights with the one closest in age to her. And she would tell me a little bit about how they all acted, and I noticed she'd get a chuckle. Things she would do sometimes for attention, because in a family of four, as people can attest to who've grown up that way, you know, sometimes you have to eke out your areas of, I don't want to say expertise, but ways to get attention. And then in my own, among my own kids, the two older boys would sometimes, frequently when they were growing up, eclipse my daughter because they were, you know, kind of loud and they had so much fun together and they would tease her kind of mercilessly, to be brutally honest. And no matter what I could say or do, you know, that continued. They were very close with one another. And then they became closer with her through the years. But it was tough there for a while. And I sort of, I'm the oldest in my family. So I guess I always had some sympathy for the underdog. And, yeah, and Jelly Bean does too.
Yeah,
she evolved that way.
Well, good. So now... You mentioned you have 7 grandchildren. Now, did you kind of test the material with them? And did they kind of provide any guidance?
Oh, always. Like aside from my daughter who would say, oh, Mom, that is so dumb. Don't put that in, you know. I'd be, okay, well, what do you think? Well, you know, you could try this or that. My oldest granddaughter, the one who's going to be 14, she doesn't have so much interest in it anymore, but for a while there, she was great. She was like a meta reader for me, and she would tell me, oh, you know, you shouldn't have that, or, you know, you could, or things that she did. Like, she was playing football, flag football, but I'd be like, what, really? Because this was a brand new world for me, and I said, okay, maybe I'll have her try football. So, and then I said to, I don't want to be too much of a spoiler alert here, but with Jelly Bean's best friend, who, you know, you'll see it when you read it, whoever decides to pick it up. So the parents don't like the friend for a variety of reasons, and they don't allow her to go there. Happens a lot in families, can be a commonplace occurrence, and I said to my daughter, so what would you do if I didn't allow you to go over someone's house? And she said, oh, that's in 2 seconds flat. Oh, that's easy. I'd sneak. I'm like, okay. Oh, boy. All right. So then, of course, that had to go in there, you know. And then, of course, the grandmother comes to the rescue because she understands her and having been through a lot. But, you know, these were various situations also from when I grew up and, like you say, the things change, but many things stay the same. They really do. Human nature being what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Now, in that example of Jelly Bean not being able to go to her friend's home, I believe in that one wasn't a single parent home, and her mother had many boyfriends, and it wasn't in the good part of town.
Yes.
Those are things that really now the single parent may be less impactful today than it was
more available.
In the past. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but certainly, not going to the wrong side of town, is still a...
It's a really tough thing.
Yeah,
right.
Is.
A lot
it
of
is.
People want their kids to be in with a certain group only, and that, from having been a teacher and just from having raised my own kids, I see how that can go. Or sometimes my kids would be, oh my God, you don't know what happens in this household or that. Not that they would tell me everything by any stretch of the imagination, but sometimes that my house was perfect, but I'd be like, whoa, that can be kind of off-putting a little. So, we parents try our best.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the one thing I think that's really nice about the books are that it is the kind of book that, the child, could read for themselves, but also it's one very much that I think parents can be involved with, in providing their perspective, of Jelly Bean's trials and tribulations.
Oh, definitely. Like a lot of people have commented on that to me, that it is really good for the older generation to be able to read and to read to their kids because it can open up a lot of conversations about things that you might not always speak about. Like I know when my kids were younger and we parents would ask one another, would your child tell you if so-and-so were on drugs? What if they were contemplating suicide? What if this? What if that? And it's really good to speak about because that's a tough one. Really hard.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. Now, excuse me, in the book, you share some generational advice. It was kind of, as I was going through and reading, I kind of chuckled, the mother would say something and Jelly Bean's response would be, oh, Lord, here we go again, that kind of thing. So, I just kind of laughed because, it happens, that is the kind of, typical advice given and response. So can you talk a little bit about, why you put that in there and what is your view of providing, having that kind of advice being given?
So it's interesting because a lot is based on, my parents died, they passed away quite a while ago, and they're kind of recreated in the book. And of course, at the time when my mother was saying, don't do this and don't do that and being repetitive and, it was so annoying at the time. And then later on, you have your own children and, oh, my goodness, history really recreates itself. I find myself saying, and I try to do it and try hard in a more way that's going to make them more receptive. Do I always accomplish that? I highly doubt it. But my mother had a lot of good sayings also, as a lot of, people in older generation do. Like she'd say, I try to pick the right moment to say this to you or your sister or your brother or your dad, And that's part of it. And I guess, and the dad is just, he's based on my dad and he's really kindly and caring. But at the same point, parents are, they're just so busy with with their careers
right.
and their other children and, you know, other things they have going on. And it's kind of tough to, that's why she really, well, of course I have to make the grandmother a real hero of the story, naturally, because, you know, her her grandmother has
time
for her.
What does
her
grandmother do?
And now, you know, and her grandmother came to live in her room after Jelly Bean's grandfather dies, and that happened with my sister. She came and lived in her room, and my grandmothers, they were great, and they always had time for you. And even my daughter says to me now, she has two little ones, and she's like, I don't remember you ever playing on the floor with us, because I do it with my grandchildren. I'm like, I didn't. I know I did not, because I didn't, you know, I was making dinner or doing something for work or, I don't know, washing clothes, like everything that you have to do. So it's all kind of in there.
Yeah,
I guess it's
absolutely.
All pretty relatable,
well,
people seem to say.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, that was the one thing I noticed and liked about it as I was going through reading is that it's, I mean, there were situations and comments and, you know, they were very relatable. You know, I mean, there were things that, you know, I've heard before or I've seen before, you know, and then I think those are really common examples of what families go through.
Yes. Yes. It was meant to be pretty real. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't sugarcoat much.
Well, good. Well, you know, we're about halfway through the show, Amy, so I want to take just a quick 90-second break. And then when we come back,
fine.
speaking of real, I want to cover, you know, you cover some really tough issues in the books, you know, that children are dealing with today. You mentioned drugs as one, but eating disorders and class issues. I want to talk about, you know, some of the more difficult issues that you address in the book and kind of how did you approach it, okay?
Sure. Great. Thanks, Robert.
Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder, we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to the more than 1,700 shows we have aired during the past 13 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide. Books, photography products and services, calendars and greeting cards. There is also a link to our account at Fine Art America where you can purchase items such as mugs, prints, pillows, and more. Our show is available as a free podcast on multiple platforms such as iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and Audible, with icons to each platform on our homepage. We are also available on social media platforms such as Facebook, X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Threads. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. Again today, my special guest is Amy Wiseland Pollock, and we are talking about her books, her coming-of-age books, Adventures of Jelly Bean. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.amypollack.com. That's AmyPollack.com. Okay, with that, we're back, Amy.
Hi. Hi, Robert.
Hi. Okay. So, again, you know, you mentioned you kind of tried to deal with, you know, everyday types of issues. And before the break, I mentioned, you know, some of the tough issues that you include in your book are eating disorders, drugs, and class issues. So let's start with eating disorders. I mean, that is a very kind of a prevalent issue, especially with young girls. So can you tell us a little bit about how you approached that topic?
So what happens in my book, which is in my Adventures of Jelly Bean and the Further Adventures of Jelly Bean, I do have a lot of real-life situations, including what you mentioned, the anorexia, which is very prevalent these days. It's hard because look at, and it's funny because just having been in L.A. where, you know, I was at that event and, you know, people are trying to make it as actresses and other film-related areas. And certainly by no means just there. It's just everywhere. I know plenty of young people, well, people in general, but many young people afflicted with it. And it just happened naturally in my story. I'm not very good at writing outlines because I kind of see what happens. And this is a little girl who had become friendly with Jelly Bean. And she had moved to a new area, which is a new town, which is stressful for many kids. And she's also in gymnastics, which is certainly by no means the only arena where, so to say, where this can happen. And this happens to her, this little girl, and she and Jelly Bean goes to the ladies' room with her when they're in a gymnastics meet. And there she becomes aware of what this little girl is going through. And I don't want to give too much away, but she helps her out because she has to get to some medical care. And this is just one of those things that is happening in a lot of kids' lives. And for the parents, it's pretty hellish to try to, you know, get the right help, and it's fairly commonplace. So there it is in my book.
Well, you know, it's good in the book, in that you bring it into the book, because, like you say, it is a, you know, very prevalent issue. And so many times the young girls try and mask, you know, their, you know, the issue, so that, you know, with the parents, it can be sometimes hidden, you know, I mean, on purpose, on the child, you know. So, you know, it's good to be able to have, and
in the open.
How about, go ahead.
It's interesting because my daughter and one of my daughter-in-laws are both nutritionist dietitians. And my daughter has said to me, which has been really helpful with my grandchildren, because things are very different now, and she said, do not ever comment on their appearance or their, you know, if they're fat or thin, don't say anything about what they're eating. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I wasn't really aware of all these things that we, and if you look at a lot of older books, there are a lot of comments like that. Books for this age, written like in the 40s or 50s.
Well, you know, and there's, I mean, they're confronted with it, you know, daily, you know, through social media and through peers, you know, so. You know, and then, and if you're not kind of aware, you know, of, then it's it can be easy to fall into the, you know, oh, you look so skinny, we need to give you something to eat, you know, especially for a grandma. You know.
Oh, my God, of course. And that's not, you know, it's been pointed out to me. It's just not acceptable now. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I think I'm doing better with that and that support.
Well, you know, and, you know, and just raising awareness is the where you need to start, right?
Yes. Oh, definitely. Because you're right. Every magazine cover and, oh, my Lord, any type of media, it's all plastered over everything. And it's not good.
Yeah, I agree. So now, also one of the other, you know, really prevalent, you know, issues happens mm-hmm. a lot more in today's world than it did, I think, and when I was growing up too, was the prevalence of drugs.
Oh my God, it's definitely.
So
I have
so
that
kind of,
in there, but Anna,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, go ahead and tell us kind of how you put it in the books or address
well,
it.
Well, since she has older siblings, my main character, mm-hmm. and believe me, I speak about it on a middle grade, so to say, preteen level. I don't speak about anything, not at all drastic, but her oldest brother is out there in the backyard with his friends, and they are, busy with some drugs, doing things they are not supposed to be doing, and that can happen. And she sees some of the results of it, that her parents are upset, and we had to make it through that when my kids were teenagers. And you
mm-hmm.
can't be around all the time, but it's tricky to combat that because it's really prevalent and can obviously be, pretty lethal.
Oh, yes.
So that's in there.
Especially some of the stuff that's out there right now. And,
oh, my God, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a parent, you hope that you can instill in your children
values.
The values of and importance of avoiding those pitfalls and hope that they follow through with that, but it is
mm-hmm.
a hard road to manage for sure.
I also deal with in various ways, which is so tricky and so prevalent and lots of pitfalls with popularity and what you would do to be in
mm-hmm.
with a certain group. And, oh, my God, it's so hard. I see it now in the schools and from raising my own children. And it's just very tough. What are you going to do? And it's funny, not ha-ha funny, but I had taught when I taught high school, and I had some of my groups, because I did a lot of special ed, were not college-bound, and I taught Shakespeare to them, and on, a certain level, because they were not going on to college, but this was part of the curriculum, and in Macbeth, we talked about, I showed parts of some of the movies, which were pretty good adaptations, but I would
mm-hmm.
say make them write about or speak about also what you would do for someone, a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Would you, this is not exactly in my book, but it's the theme, would you steal for them? Would you lie for them? Would you kill for them, for someone? Like, how far would someone go to be in with a certain person? And it's tricky.
Yeah,
no one wants
yeah.
to be left out, but how far would you go?
It is. Now, since the book was kind of geared for the 8 to 12, now the 12,
mm-hmm.
Starting to, on the verge of entering the
mm-hmm.
physical changes and hormone
age,
just starting.
Yes, yes.
So now is that part of Jelly Bean?
So, not for those two books, but my
mm-hmm.
book 3, which is at the publisher, it should be coming out, I want to say takes a while. They told my Still Further Adventures of Jelly Bean, that'll be coming out in around 5 months or so. And
mm-hmm.
Jelly Bean, and everybody asks me this, but Jelly Bean does grow up. And I'm dealing with that. I'm grappling with that. And then in my book 4, she's still a little bit older. She's still, I'm in the middle of writing my book 4. Yes, she has gone on to 6th grade. And yes, that is when all that starts, and that's another tricky hurdle to deal with. So making some decisions about that, because she does grow up.
Yeah. You know, that is
it'll happen.
I mean, you know, I have some friends who have children that age now, and boy, the stories they tell me, you know.
My God. I know. My oldest granddaughter, she told me they have kissing parties, and I was like, oh, boy. And then, with technology and all, I guess I shouldn't say anything further. She listens to this. But it's tricky. You know, what do you do? Do you have children those ages or no?
No, I don't. No, I mean, and there are times when thank goodness I don't. But, you know.
Oh, boy.
But
yeah, I'm sure you're not the only one who have said that.
I have extended family.
Right, so, nieces, nephews, so forth.
Yes. Mm-hmm, exactly.
So you see what goes on.
Absolutely. So now... This is kind of away from the jelly bean aspect, but I've been noticing on TV, a lot of talk about the post-pandemic influence. I mean, how the pandemic influenced the education of children to a deficit, to a, both learning and mental health. What do you think? What's your opinion of that? And then, for parents or grandparents even who have children or grandkids who are experiencing some deficits, do you have any kind of, insight or guidance maybe they could do?
Yeah, that's so hard because, I'd say help the kids who have fallen behind with tutoring after school. And I had to do that with my daughter. And it's hard. Nobody really wants to go to more school after school. It's really tough. You have to try to catch them up and maybe do it in small bites and see what the teacher recommends. And, oh, God, because you don't want to load on too much homework, but I know some of them, including some of my own, just kind of shut down during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to do things on Zoom, but especially for the younger kids and, especially for the boys, they didn't really feel like doing that. So, there was a lot of, recidivism, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to know, and I learned this from one of the books that I read when I was having difficulties with one of my kids. You have to always have faith and always have hope. Like, not go around feeling, and I say this to my daughter a lot, you can't feel like, oh my God, this is the end of the line. Like, this is never going to get better. You can't let yourself fall into that trap and feel that way, even though it's easy to do.
Right.
But,
I guess work
with them as much as humanly possible.
And in small bites, like you said, and the children will certainly pick up on a parent or teacher's attitude or emotion, if they're feeling hopelessness, they'll pick up on that, or if they're feeling hope, they can also pick up on that as well.
Exactly. Yes, so true. And you don't want to take away their sports from them, because that's really important also.
Right.
So
you
want to find that middle ground, which is elusive.
Very much so, I'm sure. Yeah. So now, since we're coming close to the end of the show, what is it that you hope that readers will take away from reading Adventures of Jelly Bean?
So I hope, and when I give these presentations, I try to talk about this because I have them all. I read something, then I have them all write something. They write predictions or suggestions for me. And I hope that, which they always seem to, I certainly hope that the kids and their parents enjoy my books. That's number one, primarily. And I also, secondarily, I guess I would say, I do hope they learn something from, like you learn from, not to be presumptuous, but, you know, and I love the classics and all, but, and I do hope they learn a little something from my Adventures of Jellybean and further Adventures of Jellybean and the other ones that are coming out, because it's nice if you can see how other people dealt with, you know, various situations. Like, I know you also probably had in mind the one where the big son, her oldest brother wants to drop out of school, and then he does. And, you know, that's a tough one. It's a hard one for the whole family when the parents are upset about one of the children or something that's going on. So I hope they learn a little something from my books.
Oh, great. Well, I enjoyed reading them, you know. And,
thank you.
They have a lot of good insight for both parents and for those children in that age range. Well, you're welcome. So,
thank you,
Robert. I want to thank you for spending the time today to talk to me about the books.
Oh, great.
And you know, people out there, parents and grandparents both alike, pick up the book, especially grandparents.
Anytime.
Now, grandparents get a good, you know, they got a good part in the series. So,
they're not shoved into the background at all.
No, they're not. They're just as important in your book as they are in real life. So,
Thank you. No, I appreciate that.
So, well, I noticed that from your website that you're on social media, so I'm going to connect with you on those platforms and want to follow your journey and look forward to the further adventures of
I don't think of very creative titles, but thank you. I do appreciate it. Yeah, my website's amypollock.com. So.
Great. Thank you very much. You're very welcome.
Take care, Robert.
Again, everyone. Thank you. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been Amy Pollock. We've been talking about her books, The Adventures of Jellybean and The Further Adventures of Jellybean. Again, you can find out more, like she said, by visiting her website, which is amypollock.com, and that's AmyPollack.com. And everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this children's edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again,
thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth's Children's Corner show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/ByteRadioMe and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at ByteRadioMe. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BiteRadio.me. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.